All right, we're in Judges, the 12th chapter of Judges. 12th chapter of Judges. I'm going to start reading in verse number 4. We're going to read down through verse number 6 or maybe 7 there, and to kind of just catch us up on where we were. So then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, "Ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassehites." And the Gileadites took the passage of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, "Let us go over," that the men of Gilead said unto them, "Art thou an Ephraimite?" And if he said nay, then said they unto him, "Say now Shibboleth." And he said Sibboleth, but he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passage of Jordan, and there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then died Jephthah the Gileadite and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. You know, I was reading verse number 7, I was thinking about that this morning. Jephthah was called of God, used of God to win a great battle for Israel. And I was just thinking about that. He was called to do the work. He only lived 6 years, was only judged Israel 6 years. All that preparation time before was preparing him for the work of God for 6 years. I just thinking about that. It's amazing. You know, sometimes we think about, well, if God's going to call us, it may be for 10, 20, 30, 40. You know, you just don't know what God wants. We'd mentioned that last week, I think, and I won't belabor that. But, you know, God doesn't always call young people. I don't know how old Jephthah was, but he only called him, used him for 6 years, and took him home. I'm just saying to you, God don't always call just the young teenagers or the young people. He calls at all ages, and I mentioned to you, I was called at the age of 30, called of God to preach at the age of 30. My pastor, Brother Evans, was called when he was in his 40s. And so I just keep that as a mention to you. God may reach down and want you to do something special. It may not be for a full, you know, he may just want you to do something special. Just always be listening to the Lord, okay? And so we'll go back now. We started last week on the fact that here the Ephraimites could not say Shibboleth. They would pronounce it Sibboleth. So they knew who they were. And we just kind of went back to the fact that our speech reveals a lot about us. You know, Peter, he was betrayed by his speech, I think the scripture says in one of the Gospels, because they knew he was a Galilean, and because of his speech. And we've spent some time talking about the Christian speech. It's very important that we speak as Christians. And you know, we reveal ourselves a lot of times because of what we say. And I look at it as what we say and when we say it and how we say it. I could say to my wife, "Honey, I love you." Or I could say, "Honey, I love you very much." And there's a big difference. A lot of times it's not what we say, it's how we say it. And it's very, very important that we understand that. As Christians, you know, we can say a lot of things, but how do we say it? How do we present ourselves? So that's kind of what we wanted to do. I'm not going to turn to these scriptures right now. I think we did that last week, but I want to just read you some. I want you to listen, then we'll get in where we'll turn over to some scriptures. But in Psalms 37, it said, "The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment," speaking of good things, right things. judgments, good things, right things, brings wisdom out of his tongue. That's what he says the righteous does. And then he says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. He said, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. See, God is putting a difference between the ones that how a righteous speaks and how wicked speak. And he goes on then, and I think we covered that last week. I don't think I'll go back there, but we went over to the book of James, and we talked about this. It's chapter 3 of the book of James, and it has so much to say about the tongue and how carefully we must be, and that it is it can set on fire. I mean, it can cause all kinds of trouble. The tongue, just the tongue, can do that. So what I wanted to do is I want to just take a little time this morning, and I want to just share with you, folks, we've all, as far as I know in here, everybody's got one. And I think the thing that we need to do, all of us, is to learn how to use it correctly. Don't you agree with that? See, again, I'm saying to you, as a Sunday school teacher, this is not against you. This is to help us. And I still want to caution you. Please, it's a good principle. Before you speak, stop and think. Because we can save ourselves so much trouble if we'll just stop and give thought before we blurt something out. Because it's so easy to do that. You understand? We can just blurt it out, and then, boy, it's went, and how are you going to bring it back? Amen? And you have to sometimes go back and say, hey, I'm sorry for what I said. I just blurted it out. And it's better if you can get into a habit of just kind of stopping and thinking before you speak, before you answer. Okay? Now, the book of Job, it said, how forceful are right words. How forceful. And that's in Job 6:25. He said, but what doth your arguing reprove? What does your arguing reprove? See, words are forceful. And he says in Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bone. I am not going to be able to tell you, but I want to encourage you, when you go through the scriptures, you read your Bible, find the different places where God talks about the mouth, the lips, or words that is spoken. You will be surprised. Over and over and over, God talks about those. And just like right there, he said, pleasant words are as a honeycomb. Everybody knows what a honeycomb is. It's sweet. Amen. And he says, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. So he's teaching us that words are very important in what they do to other people or how they can help other people. And then he says in Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. I truthfully had a little, over the years, had a little trouble understanding exactly what he meant there. But I read an illustration one time that helped me, and I think it's pretty close to what he's talking about. Apples and gold and pitchers of silver. The man said they used to make these big platters back in there, those days, and they would serve things on these platters. Sometimes they would literally be platters of silver. And sometimes the decorations in the center there would be some kind of a fruit, such as an apple, and they'd be made out of gold. It would be just imprinted into the platter. And so he's saying apples of gold in pitchers of silver. I heard one time of an illustration about a man who thought he could paint, and he really was not a good painter, but he thought he could. And he tried to sell some of his paintings and tried to sell them, just couldn't get it done. And finally, a friend of his who was pretty wealthy decided he was just going to buy one of his paintings to make him feel good. And so he went and bought one of his paintings, and the fellow was just so tickled. And so he took it home, and he thought, well, the painting's not very good. So he said he went out and he purchased a very beautiful frame, very expensive and beautiful frame. And he hung it in his foyer area in his house. And so he said the frame, you know, made the picture look pretty good. And so some thieves broke in, and they took that frame and that picture. And so he was telling his friend that he said, they come in and they stole that. He said, oh, you mean they wanted that picture? He said, no, they ripped the picture out and took the frame. And I think that the good illustration of that is that sometimes we can give apples of gold and not present also the pictures of silver around it. It's the way we say it. Like I said a while ago, you understand what I'm saying? It's the way we say it, because it has to be framed with the right attitude and kindness that goes with it. You understand what I'm saying? And I think that's what God is trying to tell us here. Now let me stop a moment and let me say, there is time when people have to be rebuked. The Word of God rebukes us. The Bible tells us it's for doctrine, rebuke. It's for correction and instruction in righteousness. So rebuke is a right and proper thing when it's done by the person who should be doing it, and in a spirit that it should be given. There's a scripture, and I should have looked it up, but I didn't, but it's in the New Testament, where God says in his word to reprove them sharply. And I should have looked that up, and I apologize, I didn't. But he said, reprove them sharply. Well, there's a time when reproof has to be given. Don't you agree? You can't always just be a mellow mouth. Rebuke has to be. But most of us, God has not called to be the rebuker to other people. We have to be very careful that when we do rebuke, that it's something, again, that the Lord has instructed us to do. And it does take rebuke. And you're not going to always just speak kind words, but be sure that you know when to speak and that those words are coming from direction of the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? We sit and we commune one to another. That is right. That's proper. That's how we communicate with one another. But I think what God is teaching in his word is when we do communicate, do it in a godly way. Do it in a godly way. Do it in a proper godly way. Because words or something can go down in and wound the belly. It can hurt us terrifically. You see. You understand? And sometimes it's just because we show anger and wrath, and we come out with words that probably later on we may be sorry we said. I'm just saying to you, the Bible says that no man can tame this. No man. But God can. We can with God's help. See, that's what I'm just trying to help you and I to realize, that we need to just kind of stop, think, and be careful what we say. Okay? Now, I think we covered that. I'll tell you what I want to do. I told you last week I want to turn over to some scripture over in the book of Matthew. I want to show you something. I'm sure that it's not, Matthew 12. I'm sure it's not something you have not seen, but I want to just bring it to your attention. Matthew 12. Verse 36. Just the sake of time, I'm going to read verse 36 and 37. He said, well, let's read 35. A good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. For I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, God is certainly not saying here that by your words you're either going to get salvation or not salvation. We know how we get salvation. We get salvation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And only by faith in him and by his grace we're saved. But he's talking about, I believe, in the day of judgment, our words. Every idle word is what he says that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I think it's very important. The word idle there, idle word, it's really an interesting word, but it means inactive, lazy, useless. And then there's a word that the concordance, Strong's Concordance, gives us for this word idle, and it's very interesting. It's almost humorous. It means unemployed. Unemployed. In other words, words that are unemployed, they're useless, no good, have no purpose whatsoever. He said, we're going to give account for them. Now, what I'm saying, just listen to me. I'm trying to help us. You know, a lot of sometimes our talk is useless, has no purpose for good whatsoever. It's nothing but chatter. You understand what I'm saying? And I know we have to commune with one another, we talk back and forth, but let it at least be godly talk. Let it at least be, I don't mean you had to be talking about God all the time, but let it be one that, and we'll show you in a minute, that's acceptable unto the Lord. Communication that is acceptable. Because he says every idle word, men will give an account. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel like, you know, I better kind of watch what I say. Because one day the judgment seat's coming. Don't you agree with that? I mean, is it going to be a lot better if we'll just be careful what we say? You know how easy it is just to smart off to somebody? I don't think that pleases God whatsoever. And I guess really when you get right down to it, he's the one we're trying to please. Amen? Now, I want to show you here in just a moment here. Let me look. In Book of Psalms, the Book of Psalms, we'll just go back there. 19th chapter, the Book of Psalms. Now, you've read this verse of Scripture. You've heard it. But I just want you to listen. In 19th Psalm, verse 14, listen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Listen to two things he said. The words of my mouth should be acceptable unto the Lord. Now, do you agree with that? Okay. And the meditation of my heart. What I think about, what I meditate upon in the quiet times. What do I think about? What do I meditate about? The psalmist said, Lord, I just want the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart to be acceptable to you. Boy, that's a good principle. Amen. That'll get you a long way down the road. Amen. And I think that's what we ought to strive for. Amen. We can do a lot of communicating between one another, talk about a lot of different things, and don't have to just always be talking about the Bible, but it can be acceptable to God. The words that we use, the way we speak, and the way we talk can be acceptable and should be acceptable to the Lord. And then, of course, the meditations of our heart. Meditation is a very important part of the Christian life. What do you meditate upon? What do you think about? Is it acceptable unto the Lord? Okay? And I hope that helps just a little bit. Keep your place there, and we'll see where we're going to head next here. Over in Proverbs, the 6th chapter of Proverbs. Again, you've heard these things, you've heard these scriptures, but let me just go down through in chapter 6 of Proverbs and verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, even seven are an abomination unto him. First of all, it's a proud look, a lying tongue. Now that's one. that he's talking about the tongue, okay? A lying tongue. Did you know God hates a lying tongue? Okay? I mean, we got that down? God hates a lying tongue. That's what it says in the scripture. I believe that. He says, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness. Now that's number two. A false witness. Okay? And he says, that speaketh lies, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. That's three. Three things out of seven is dealing with the tongue. Three out of seven. And again, I'm mentioning that to show you that God absolutely does care what we say, how we say it, and when we say it. God does care. Amen? You agree with that? See, three out of seven absolutely is things dealing with the tongue, because you can't sow discord without speaking. Pretty hard to do it anyway. Amen? So again, what I'm really trying to do is trying to help you and I to understand something. God cares, and folks, I would not have time. I would not have time to go. I've got scripture after scripture led here, and I'm not even going to have time to get most of them. But if you'll go through the Bible, God over and over and over talks about the mouth and the lips and the speech. Over and over and over he talks about it. Well, why? Because we're just old wicked people. And we've got this old wicked tongue that wants to spurt out things that have no right to spurt out most of the time and does no good whatsoever for anybody. Does no good. And is not acceptable unto the Lord. You understand? Now, chapter 13. Chapter 13 of Proverbs. I'm just going to read a verse there. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. I mean, do we have to say anything about it? I understand what he said? Yeah, he said, you know, he said that he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Look at chapter 13. Let's go to chapter 21 real quick. We'll probably come back. Let's go to chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 23. Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Hey, did you hear that? You know, I mean, really, that's a wise saying. He's saying if you keep your mouth, you'll keep your soul from troubles. And I'm not going to ask for show of hands, but has anybody in here ever got themselves in trouble because of their mouth? I know, I got to lift up my hand. You don't have to, but I'm just saying, isn't that true? So God is saying, if you keep your mouth, you'll save yourself from troubles. Amen? Amen. Now, let's see here. Proverbs, let's go back to the 10th chapter of Proverbs. verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Now, I think I read that a while ago, but then verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. In the lips of him, you see. Verse number 19, he says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. When he said it, in the multitude of words is wanteth not sin, he's not saying there is no sin there. He's saying you'll always find sin there. You'll always find sin in the multitude of words. But he says that he that refraineth his lips is wise. So What do you want to be, a wise person or something else? So what are you going to do if you're going to be a wise person? You're going to refrain your lips. You're not going to talk so much. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean you can't talk. In fact, it'd be foolish for a righteous person to not sow righteousness and sow right things and speak righteous things. That's what we're supposed to do. But he said, in the multitude of words, just chatter, 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 you're always going to find sin. Okay? You understand? All I'm trying to do is try to help us, to keep us from trouble. Amen? All right. Now, in verse 31 of that chapter says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness. See, the mouth of the just, what does he do? Bringeth forth wisdom. Bringeth forth wisdom. He speaks things of wisdom. Amen. If we're going to speak, let it be something of wisdom brought forth. That'll help people. Amen. That'll help them. Now, in chapter 12 of Proverbs, verse 17, he says, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. See, he gives the two. See, he said, you know, if you speak truth, you show forth righteousness, but a false witness brings deceit. Okay, remember, a false witness is one, is, well, the act of false witnessing, God hates. God hates that. We bring forth a false witness, God hates that. Okay, now, in, let me see, where am I at here, chapter 12? And, okay, verse 22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal right truly are his delight. Again, God has so much, and I know you know this, if you read your Bible, and I'm sure you have, over and over he talks about lying. Lying is an abomination to God. And, you know, he's just against it. You heard about that little boy who came home from Sunday school, didn't you? And his daddy asked him, he said, well, what did the preacher preach about? And he said, well, he preached about sin. He said, what did he say? He said, I don't remember, but I know he was against it. And, God's against lying. Okay? He's just against it. Amen? And then over in chapter 13, verse 3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. I think, again, we read that. Let's look at chapter 14. Verse number 5 said, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Amen. And then let's see here. Chapter 15, verse number 1 and 2. This is a good, wonderful verse of Scripture. It said, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Okay? There again, folks, there is so many times, and I think we studied that even in the life of Gideon and Jephthah. We studied that where if answering rightly caused wrath to be put down. You a soft answer. You see, a lot of times, well, turn away wrath. But if you answer in with anger, it just stirs up someone else. And causes anger, see, to be stirred up, and strife to come. So again, it's so important how we speak. Amen. Is this kind of getting settled in our hearts? Sure, it's so important. You say, oh, I know, but that person deserves. Well, let me tell you, you can't afford to lose any more pieces of your mind. So you just need to keep all of them you can get. Amen. You're like me. You say, I want to give them a piece of my mind. Well, please don't. Amen. I know things come up. I do. I know things come up. And it's hard to contain sometimes. You just want to just straighten that person out. And there may be a way to do it, though, more with a softer answer than wrath. Okay? Just be careful how you speak. Then in verse 2? The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Amen. Verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doth not so. See, you notice again when he talks about the lips of the wise, what are they doing? Are they bringing forth wisdom? Are they bringing forth knowledge? They're giving something that's worthwhile. Help. You know, I always, and I'm still convinced of this, I really am, I still feel like our generation, and I want to say older folk, all of you are not older folk like me, but we need to help these younger folk as they're growing up. We need to dispense wisdom to them. Help them, okay? I don't mean just be on them all the time. I'm not talking about that. But there's opportunities and chances to disperse knowledge and wisdom to some of these younger ones that's coming up. And a lot of times they act like they don't want to hear it, but it's okay to give it anyway. I mean, right, proper time. It's right, and the way you say it and the way you help them. Not in condescending, you know better, not that, but presenting some wisdom and dispersed wisdom and knowledge to some of these that's coming up. God holds us responsible, Book of Titus, as older folk, older ladies, to teach the younger ladies. You agree with that? The older men to teach the younger men. Amen? Yeah, I know what you're going to say. They don't want to hear it. It's okay. Let them hear it anyway. Just let them hear it. And sometime it may even sink in. Amen? So I think, again, I think it's our responsibility to do that. I think the Scripture teaches to do it. But be sure it's not with the matter of I'm going to tell you what to do, but with a kind heart that wants to help them, wants to be a blessing to them, encouragement to them, okay? Verse number 23 of chapter 15. He says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, but a word spoken in due season, how good it is. And that's what I'm talking about. There's due seasons, okay? There's times when it's just right to just say a word, okay? That is proper and right. All right, chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. We read that earlier, but boy, it's a good verse. And chapter 18, verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. If you'll notice there, a fool's lips enter into contentions. There's a lot of contentions that don't ever have to be. A fool's lips don't know how to keep out of contentions. They just bust through and just begin to speak when they don't even know what they're speaking about. Okay? I'm convinced, of course, and I think you will be too. I'm convinced if we'll listen to the Holy Spirit of God, if we will listen to Him, and He does control our life, He'll tell us when to speak. When to even sometimes rebuke. I think the Holy Spirit's the one who needs to do that. Don't you? Amen. If we'll be wise and we'll listen to the Holy Spirit, we'll learn how to speak right and when to speak and how to speak. Amen. All right. Now, in chapter 21, I'm just about have to be done here. Chapter 21, verse 23. Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. Again, we see that very same thing. All of us could say that. Boy, yeah, that's true. Amen. We're chapter 26, verse 22. It says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Folks, learn something. Learn to keep counsel. Don't be a talebearer. Everything you hear, you think you have to go tell somebody about it. You hear something about somebody, you don't know if it's true or not. No, you don't. Well, I know, but so-and-so told me. You don't know what so-and-so knows. You don't know if they know anything. A talebearer does nothing but cause problems and troubles and heartaches for other people. If you want to talk to someone about somebody, get on your knees and talk to God. This here old spitting out this venom about somebody, most of the time you don't even know the whole story. And if you don't know both sides, you don't know the story. Amen? You've only heard one side. And God's not pleased with that. Amen? That help? Amen. Let's just learn to do something with this thing. It's got, God put a zipper on it and bars on it. See? If you don't even open either one of them, you can't talk. So keep a zipper on it. Amen. Father, thank you. And you're good and kind to us. We sure do need help with our tongue. Thank you in Jesus' name.